Sermon text reading today is from Daniel 4, verses 28 to 33. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. This is God's word. You may be seated.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, it is my desire that at this moment, our hearts and our minds would be focused on your word. We have done what we can, humanly speaking, to prepare our hearts and minds to hear your word, but it is your spirit which must be at work in order to change us. I can't do it, and only you can, and so I would ask for the ability to be clear and truthful. In Christ's name, amen. We are in the middle of a series on the book of Daniel. And if you haven't been with us either this week or the last couple of weeks or ever, I will do my best to bring you up to speed so that you understand where we are. Daniel is a man from Judea who was taken captive by the Babylonians. He and a number of young men were taken into the land of Babylon, which was about 1,000-mile journey, where he became the servant of the king whose name was Nebuchadnezzar. He rose in rank and power and authority there because of God's grace upon him. And many think that the book of Daniel is about Daniel, and it is about Daniel to a certain extent, but merely to do a character study of him would not do the book justice. In other words, his story is really not the key feature of the book. The key feature of the book is for us to understand who Daniel's God is, was, and continues to be, because he is the God that we are worshiping this morning. In Daniel's relationship with Nebuchadnezzar, he had a long and lengthy relationship with them. We're now in their 30th year or thereabouts when we're in chapter 4. A number of miraculous things took place. Early on, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he had a dream which his counselors could not interpret for him, and Daniel showed up on the scene and interpreted it for Nebuchadnezzar. Some years later, 4 or 5 years later, Daniel's 3 friends, whom we call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, disobeyed the king's edict to worship him and a statue which he had made, and they were consequently thrown into a furnace, and miraculously God spared those lives. And so Nebuchadnezzar has had 2 experiences of the miraculous, and now we come to the third. The third event is once again a dream which Nebuchadnezzar had, and he had called upon his counselors who were unable to interpret or unwilling to interpret the dream for him. And we looked at the content of that dream last week and Daniel's interpretation of it. The short version of that dream is simply this. There was a picture in Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a great tree under which all the birds and the animals of all the world found rest and peace and security and food. And Daniel had told Nebuchadnezzar, that tree represents you. That tree is summarily cut down, although the roots are remaining in the ground, and the tree is hauled off, and all the animals and everything are scattered. And then the dream turns personal, and Nebuchadnezzar is told that he will become in his mind like an ox of the field, and he will eat grass for 7 periods of time, which we have taken to mean 7 years. But because the root was spared, he will ultimately be brought back into power. And in that dream sequence, Daniel answers the king after the interpretation and dares to say to the king in verse 27 of chapter 4, "Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off from your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquity by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity." In other words, after the interpretation of the dream, Daniel tells the king, repent of your sins, turn to righteousness. A very bold thing to say to a pagan king, that you're a sinner, that you need to repent, that you need to make a change. Well, today what we're going to look at the latter part of chapter 4 is Nebuchadnezzar's fulfillment of that dream and how it is lived out. But before we do that, I want us to just look very quickly again at chapter 2, because it is in chapter 2 that I believe that we find the heart and the soul and the key to understanding the entirety of the book of Daniel. When Daniel was asked to interpret the first dream of Nebuchadnezzar, there was a penalty of death if he did not. And so consequently, Daniel prayed. And Daniel's prayer is recorded for us in verse 20 to 23 in Daniel chapter 2. And I want to read part of this so we understand the key to the book of Daniel. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light is where he dwells." In other words, Daniel's prayer was simply this: the God of heaven, my God, number one, knows everything. Number two, he's mystified by nothing. He is sovereign in control over all mankind. He is the one who puts kings in authority, and he is the one who removes kings from authority. He knows everything that dwells in darkness, but he dwells in the light. That is the key to understanding the book of Daniel. The entirety of the book of Daniel is written so that mankind will understand God is in control. Now, that is something very easy to say, and probably every one of us in this room would say it. Oh, yeah, I believe God is in control, sovereign over all things. Of course, the question is, how is life lived? Is it lived as if we believe what we proclaim to be true? That God is sovereign over all things. One more verse I'll point out in chapter 2. Daniel, after he was asked by the king to interpret, Nebuchadnezzar asked him, "Are you able to make known to me the dream?" And Daniel answered the king in verse 27, "No. No wise man, no enchanter, no magician, or astrologer can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." And so the book of Daniel is about showing us the sovereignty of God and how it is that God reveals mysteries. Now, we don't have all of our mysteries revealed, but the question is, do we believe that God is in control? When Daniel was telling Nebuchadnezzar his dream and giving him his interpretation, part of the dream, along with this vision of a great tree, was the introduction of an angel who said something to Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 17 of chapter 4, the angel said, "The sentence is by the decree of the watchers and the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets it over the lowliest of men." In other words, the purpose for the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, the second dream, was so that man would know, and in particular, Nebuchadnezzar would know, that God is in control. And he puts those in authority he wants there, and it could be the lowliest of the low that God puts in control. The question, of course, is what lesson will Nebuchadnezzar learn? And that's where we're at this morning. With these things in mind, I want us to turn to Daniel chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 28 to 37, the end of the chapter. It's a fascinating bit of information. Nebuchadnezzar has been told by Daniel to repent. And I want to remind us of one thing. The entirety of chapter 4, except for a very short section, was written by Nebuchadnezzar himself by way of proclamation to his people. He began chapter 4 with these words. It's fairly extraordinary. "I, King Nebuchadnezzar, to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me." That's how this chapter begins. Now, in verse 28, the voice of this story changes. My personal opinion is that Daniel has to write this section because either Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to write it in retrospect because it was fairly humiliating, or because it was written during the time that Nebuchadnezzar was out in the field and was unable to write it. So let me just read these verses for us. Verse 28. "And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, 'Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?' And while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling will be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you.'" Best guess, those 7 periods of time are 7 years. "Until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." That is the purpose statement that was given to us back during the interpretation of his dream. It's repeated here. You're going to turn into a man who thinks he's an ox for this purpose, so that you understand one thing: God is in control. "And immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of the heavens till his hair grew as long as an eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws." Preachers love this stuff. And they just go nutso right here and right now. I don't think it's the purpose of the text. Believe it or not, there's actually a psychological disorder which was recorded from the annals of Babylon early on. It was not given a name, but whether this was the case, but it strikes me to be very accurate. The disease that Nebuchadnezzar had was a psychological disease which is called boanthropy. You can look it up. I read about it. I watched videos of people who in modern day have boanthropy. It's not a very pleasant disease. They have a psychological disorder which actually causes them to believe that they are bovine, and they begin to eat grass, and they cease to take care of their personal hygiene. A part of their mental faculties are still with them in the sense that they're not believing that they're not human, and in some cases they still have the idea that a God exists, but basically, physically, and mentally, they live in the field, they do not want to live inside, and they eat grass. And the best scholars suspect that this is what Nebuchadnezzar was afflicted with. And he was there for 7 years, and without personal hygiene, his hair grew, and his nails grew, and he became quite a fixture in the fields, eating along with the other cattle. The point that I would like to make is simply how far the mighty have fallen. One instant, he is looking over the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, which he himself had created. In one instance, he was giving himself praise for creating the finest kingdom in the universe, best libraries, best army, best infrastructure, best water source, best kept people, best well fed. The next instant, he believes he's a bull. And he's cast out of his own palace and out of his own kingdom. And he'd been warned. And he'd been warned. And he'd been told to repent. It's quite a striking image, really. But then, if you don't believe that God is in control, what does it matter? Can you imagine the nations around Babylon? There's Nebuchadnezzar the Great, eating like the beast of the field, unkempt. Somebody had to take his place to rule the kingdom. 7 years he was there to learn one lesson. God is in control, and he will do with man what he wills. In verse 34, the voice of the speaker changes again, and it changes back to Nebuchadnezzar. This was written by Nebuchadnezzar in his own words, and this is what took place. And it's even more extraordinary than a man who acts like a beast. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. Remember that term, the Most High. It's the same phrase that Nebuchadnezzar began his personal dialogue with his people with. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or can say to him, what have you done? At this time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. What a What a turnaround. Now, it's at this point that preachers begin to say, will we see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven? Is this his conversion? And I'm not saying the question is not justified, and I'm not going to say that it's unimportant. I'll give you my opinion in a couple of minutes, but I don't think it's the heart of the story. What's fascinating about this profession with Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, do you have the mental picture? Guy thinks he's a cow for 7 years, unkempt, long hair, long fingernails, eating grass. I mean, I'm not even trying to be funny. Vegans don't go that far. I mean, you know, this is a very dramatic change of lifestyle. But then after the period of time that God had set, he raises his eyes to heaven, his reason is restored, and he makes this proclamation about the God Most High. What's fascinating about this proclamation, and if you're in the habit of doing cross-referencing, I commend this activity to you from this text. The whole proclamation is filled with Scripture. Now, that doesn't surprise us as Christians. But this is a pagan king. Let me give you a couple of examples that are either alluded to or quoted directly. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 17. See if it doesn't sound like what Nebuchadnezzar said in part. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Psalm 39, behold, you have made my days a few hand breaths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. And the text we read at the beginning of the service from Psalm 15, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and kind in all his works. Nebuchadnezzar is quoting these texts in this proclamation, which begs the question, where did Nebuchadnezzar learn the Hebrew Bible? That's fascinating, isn't it? Now, I don't have an answer for you. I have some suggestions. Daniel is now in his 30 or 32nd year of service to the king, and I can visualize Daniel saying, Nebuchadnezzar, would you mind if I read to you about the God I serve? Perhaps Nebuchadnezzar, in his curiosity, after the first dream was interpreted, or after he had seen Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego miraculously delivered, said, perhaps I should familiarize myself with what these Judeans are saying about their God. And having access to the Hebrew Bible, he read these passages for himself. But he was able to proclaim the truth of the God of Israel in this great proclamation. And the text ends, verse 37, and now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Well, back to the question, and there's a lot of debate about this, so I'm not trying to make the solution obvious. Are we going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven, even though it's not the point of the text? My guess is that we will see him there. The reason that I say that is because, number one, the angel, when the dream was being interpreted, said, the purpose for this dream is so that you will learn that God is sovereign over the universe. And it would appear from Nebuchadnezzar's own profession. He learned that lesson. Everything that he said of God is true. And what he vocalized is more important in a way than whether he is in heaven or not. He told us, imagine this, we're here on a Sunday morning, 2,600 years after the event, learning about the God of heaven from a pagan king who ate grass in a field. And it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He taught us his dominion, that is the God of heaven, is everlasting and forever. He taught us that the God of heaven, his kingdom is forever. That he is sovereign over all things, that man is nothing and God does what he wills, and that man does not have the right to say, "What are you doing, God?" And that the God of heaven humbles the proud. You see, the bottom line is, I don't know the heart of the man. But God knows the heart of the man. I think his heart was changed, but that's in God's hands. But the truth of the matter is that what Nebuchadnezzar proclaimed is truth. What he said of the God of Daniel and our God is true. That he is sovereign and man is nothing. That the greatest king in the universe can be humbled to the point of eating grass like a donkey, or an ox, or a cow. I don't know how because it's the same lesson I need to learn. And it is so easy to say. God is in control. He knows what is in the darkness and dwells in the light. That he is sovereign over all things. That his kingdom is eternal. The question is, do I live that or just say it? I do not know for Nebuchadnezzar. I would love to believe that he and I will break bread in eternity. I don't know his heart. But I am very, very convinced that Daniel, the entirety of the book, is written so that man will understand God is in control. That he reigns supreme. That there is not the smallest detail of any of our lives that escapes his divine attention. And he knows what is in the darkness. And he dwells in the light. And Nebuchadnezzar proclaimed that to the world. What an extraordinary reality. Let me pray. Father, I don't know how to pray this, but for myself and my friends here in this room, would you teach us this reality so that it is more than mere words? That we would live like you are in control. That our doubts and our fears, that our confidences in anything other than you, that the things that we believe prop us up aside from you would be stripped away. And while we know not the future, we do not see that in the darkness, you do. And it is enough to trust in the sovereign God of the universe, in whose name we pray. Amen.